just making sure they can hear.
Okay. Testing. Paul, Anthony, can you guys hear us from the room? Paul, we need to test your audio too. I see you're shaking your head yes. I want an audible response. Can you hear us? Looks like Anthony's frozen.
My internet keeps coming up saying internet is unstable. I sent it to the room.
Five bars. That's much
up here. All right, let's kind of mute.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah, and I think. Okay. Unfortunately, Nathan's not here, but we'll.
But she's gonna zoom in.
Yeah, she's doing it.
You want to try it now?
Looks like they're still on mute, but hey, Paul and Anthony, can you guys hear us?
They've all muted themselves. I don't have the auto mute on.
I can hear you.
Oh,
I can hear you.
Great. Paul, is there a reason your background is a fake messy office?
Don't we keep this? I'll be doing it.
Hey, that office is relatively clean, you know, what it usually looks like.
Oh, you are. Okay, fantastic. So I'll just give you all this stuff afterwards.
Okay.
He also likes to sit in front of his desk.
It makes it look more real. I'll give you that. It's only the occasional weird shapes around your head that give it away. That's not your real desk.
Oh, that is my real desk. Just I'm not sitting at it.
Okay, I got it. Alice, are we going?
Yes.
We're live. All right. Well, sorry to the public who's enduring that. Welcome to the Board of Equalization meeting today. We will go ahead and get started. We have an agenda with 22 items on it. And until we get Commissioner Ivy here, I'll suspend the rules as the chair, and so that Commissioner Lee and I can make motions and vote. So we'll turn to the first couple of items, which are approving the minutes.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as stated in number one and number two on our agenda.
A second. So we have a motion and a second to approve items one and two. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Then we have a couple of process reports on three and four.
And Jim, can we do all three and four and
I think they said
just
five
three and four.
Needs to be
three and four together? Three and four together? I'll make a motion that we approve the Board of Equalization Assessor approved review process reports as stated number three and four on our agenda.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Okay, item number five.
I'll make a motion that we approve the Board of Equalization Assessor approved prime residential exemption changes. Oh, unless we want to have comment on this. So I get closer, is it not working?
I've got you up all the way.
Jim, you're good? Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the Board of Equalization Assessor approved primary residential exemption changes as stated number five on our agenda.
Second, on number five, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0.
Number six.
My understanding is that there are no, that the recommendations from the office is 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are all approved, subject to any comment that we may have up here.
I'll make a motion that we approve the requests stated number 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 on our agenda.
I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Okay. Item number 11.
This one's a factual error, so I'm wondering if, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if the assessor's office agrees this is a factual error, then the board is welcome to just go ahead and approve it. Factual errors don't need, excuse me, petitioners who are making a factual error or asking for a late appeal based on factual error don't need to provide a reason for missing a deadline if the factual error is the only thing at issue. If it is approved for a factual error, though, that would limit the hearing to hearing the appeal only on the basis of the factual error. No other issue could be.
Okay. How many items are on the agenda right now that are based on a factual error that your office does not dispute?
That'd be the assessor's office.
Yeah.
The one for the assessor's office, they didn't provide documentation. So we don't know. It was one from Steve Preston, and the documentation was not there. So I don't know what the factual error was.
I might have to look to Sally, see if she remembers how many of these were factual errors.
Number 19 is the only factual error I have.
So we got 11 and 19. Were those the only two factual errors?
Well, it looks like there was one on 14, right? Claims there's a factual error, square footage.
11's not a factual error. That's a factual error. 14, they dispute the square footage as being accurate. 16 is a claim of factual error. They claim that we valued them based on 2 full and 2 half baths, but they only have 2 full and 1 half bath.
Well, I mean, going back to 11, though, the appellant is appealing on the basis of a factual error.
Yeah,
on 11, they said that the home wasn't completed. And
okay, let's just take these one at a time. Okay, let's just go. Okay. Let's just do 11.
Yeah.
11, so, 11 is definitely a percent complete issue. There's some extenuating circumstances. It was appealed in like 2010, and it's gradually worked its way back up, but it's definitely not done, so we're okay there.
So you're recommending that we approve that?
Yeah.
All right, I will make a motion, if it's all right, I'll make a motion that we approve the petition as the Board of Equalization as stated number 11 on our agenda.
Second. We have a motion and a second on 11. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 2-0. Number 12.
Number 12, I did not comment on this one, but Paul did. He commented this one was they're assigning extraordinary circumstance that the post office failed to send the appeal on time. There's no evidence that the post office failed to send the appeal on time. At least none of them provided to us by the appellant.
And they made the claim. But they
made
did not.
The claim that COVID prevented the appeal, prevented the post office from getting us the appeal on time. Now, we process appeals by postmark, so if a letter came in, doesn't matter if it came in 2 weeks later after the deadline, if it was postmarked by the deadline, we would accept it.
Okay. But they made the claim and there was no proof. Of their claim.
Yeah, they made the claim and provided no proof.
Okay. Ready for a motion?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we deny the petition The Board of Equalization.
I will second that. Sorry, guys, I had trouble getting the meeting ID pin. So.
That's number 12.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the denial of number 12. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. 13.
Okay, 13. This person is requesting to be heard on extraordinary circumstances, basically stating I'm old and I have poor eyesight. Please, that's why I wasn't able to file on time.
Yeah, I'm not able to pull up that application on the agenda system. That one's unique for some reason.
All right. Let me go ahead and pull it up on my side, and I'll go ahead and read you their full statement. I have access to the backup documents. It's appeal number 980. I apologize, commissioners. I should have checked, made sure that uploaded correctly. Okay, here's the full statement from the appellant from their application. He says, I have two properties and this one needs lowering of the assessment. When I tried to send in my request, I picked up the envelope and could not see the appeal notice. I looked many times. I know that seems bogus, but it is true. Perhaps it's because 84 years has taken its toll on me, or perhaps I'm just stupid. I live alone and there are so many things that need to be done that I sometimes forget to do all of them. He was circumstances. I rented the home from about 1988 till 2001. The floor joists started to rot out where they were in the rock foundation. Well, okay, from that point, he goes on to his argument about why the appeal should, why the value should be lowered. So he's essentially saying that his age and eyesight contributed to not being able to file his appeal on time.
When did he file the appeal, or when was it? I mean, so when did we send it out? When was it due, and then when was it actually filed?
So the appeal was received by us on September 22nd. It was postmarked just a few days before that. The deadline is September 15th, and the evaluation notices go out with the information about how to file an appeal on. They were mailed out by July 22nd. I believe they actually went out by July 20th this year.
So he's possibly about 5 days late.
He's possibly about 5 days late, yeah.
I feel for this situation, but unfortunately I worry that precedent would basically put everyone in the category of having a justified excuse for the deadline.
He did say he's 84, right?
84 years old. Although he didn't like provide a driver's license, I can't verify his date of birth.
Sorry, everyone above a certain age group, right? And you know, I'm not sure we want to go down that path.
It's not, just to give you, I don't know if this helps, but it's not very often that we have an appellant who files late, says I'm old, and that's why, you know, I missed the deadline. This is not that common, so.
I tend to believe him in what he's saying. I agree. It's a tough road to go down.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
Any thoughts, Commissioner Ivey?
You know, I tend to believe him. I think the eyesight, you know, I think we can make exception for medical condition, correct? And so if he's having some issues with his vision.
Well, one clarification on his statement. He said he looked for the appeal notice in the envelope, and it is true. We starting last year and this year, we have not sent out an appeal application with the valuation notices. So, you know, we've made that change, and maybe that's was confusing to him, looking for a paper application to file an appeal. We did that mainly as because so many of them get trashed, and so we decided to send out informational flyers along with information how to file appeal, and we want people filing appeals online and using those services that are more convenient. So perhaps our process change was confusing and prevented him from knowing how to properly file his appeal on time.
I think that's a helpful fact to point out.
Just to step in real quick, Commissioner Ivey mentioned a medical issue. The grounds for granting a late appeal is for a medical emergency to the property owner or to an immediate family member. Seems like this might fit more in the extraordinary or unanticipated circumstances, but up to the board.
Okay. Thank you, Paul, for that clarification.
I can go either way. I kind of lean towards approving it.
I would lean to grant this to him, and I mean.
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion, Commissioner Ivey?
Yeah, I would move that we approve the item as noted.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item 13. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 5-0. We'll move to number 14.
Number 14 is a request for a late appeal based on factual error. So that would be if the assessor's office agrees, then that could be approved.
I think we're fine on this. I checked with Cynthia. We didn't make it out to re-measure that property. And she has an appointment, or she's making an appointment. So we can handle that in conjunction with an appeal.
Okay, I would entertain a motion on approval there.
I'll make a motion that we approve the petition to the board as stated in item number 14 on our agenda.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second on 14. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Item number 15 looks like it's a medical emergency claim.
That's correct. The appellant stated that he's a primary caregiver for two of his grandparents and that they had life-threatening health incidents during the time. I'm probably guessing probably around the time the deadline happened with the appeal, or you know, sometime before that, in which the doctor's visits and giving the full-time care prevented him from filing his appeal on time. He did not provide any backup documentation for that. I don't know, you know, what he would necessarily give, but that's the basis of his petition.
Okay.
And Paul, that one fits the criteria that you spoke of earlier. Looks like he's sleeping there.
He's slowly scratching his ear.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a medical emergency.
Okay. I'll make a motion then that we approve the petition as stated in number 15 on our agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item 15. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 5-0.
Okay, number 16 is, again, another request based on the factual error. Jim Stevens also already commented on this, that the owner states the factual error is in the bathroom count. But Jim, I don't know, maybe you want to add additional comment to that?
I think it's factual errors.
Okay. So it could be approved and looked at.
I'll make a motion that we approve the petition as stated number 16.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 16. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
Okay, number 17. The appellant is basically asking for the petition to be approved based off the effects of the pandemic on his personal life as an extraordinary unanticipated circumstance.
I'll make a motion that we deny the petition as stated in number 17.
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second to deny 17. All in favor say aye.
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 Passes 3-0.
Okay, number 18, right? We're on 18.
18.
18, the petitioner is asking for consideration based on extraordinary unanticipated circumstances. His reasoning does address what those circumstances are. Basically based on family emergency and COVID-related issues.
I'm more concerned with the medical emergency part of it, portion of it. It also, extraordinary. Let's see here, hold on. Does anybody want to speak to this one just briefly?
I mean, I read through the details of this one. I mean, these are pretty significant emergencies related to the family. I'm inclined to approve this one. It looks like there's a couple different situations, one that was very urgent. And to me, it would meet the criteria for a medical emergency.
Right. I'll make a motion to approve the petition of the Board of Equalization as stated, number 18.
I will second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 18. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
Okay, 19 is, again, a request based on a factual error. I believe Merlin from the assessor's office here to speak as to if the assessor's office agrees that this is a factual error or not.
I read the letter that claimed a factual error being that this was appraised as an agricultural property when in fact it was already designated and started as a site for a school. This property was not valued as an agricultural property, and thus it was valued, as they say it should have been, as a school site. So I recommend that we deny based on those. I don't know if there's any other basis that they offered, but
no.
That's the paragraph that I read.
Well, Jones, I think this is the one. They said they had a bunch of a number of exhibits. I didn't see those exhibits, but I hope you've seen them.
No, there's exhibit A, B, and C apparently. Or
they actually ended up being in BMI. They weren't part of the web filing, so I couldn't see them at first either. But I read them in BMI, and this would not be a factual error where the taxpayer and the assessor agree that it's a factual issue. Based on what he's claiming, it would be a highest and best use issue. Certainly is a subjective issue. So, but at first I didn't find the exhibits either, but then that later I did find them in BMI.
Just as a process, a note, when we upload the petitions to the agenda, we typically just leave out any of the information that deals with the argument for the value. We determined that the exhibits referenced in the application were more talking about the value appeal, not as to the reason why they were unable to file on time. Perhaps in this case, because it is a factual error, we probably should have uploaded those, and we apologize. But for the most part, our process is to simply provide the petition because that's what's, you know, is before the board and has to be decided.
Yeah. Page 3 of 9 is where he says what his factual error is, and it doesn't look like a factual error to me.
Would you read that for the benefit of those here? I remember it, but I can't quote
it. So I've got the late appeal is being filed on the basis of a factual error. The factual error is that as of January 1st, 2020 valuation date, the subject property was not vacant agricultural land. It was instead the building site of a future school building with some improvements already made, as will be detailed below.
Okay, and we did not value it as agricultural land. We did in fact value it as a site for the new school. So their claim for a factual error is not valid.
Well, aren't they saying, you did not. I mean, the irony of that is that's a lower value.
Yeah, it would have been a lower value, but they wanted to get it qualified as a late appeal by stating that we considered it an vacant agricultural property, which we did say that it was vacant, but we valued it as a school site. I have in my hand the field notes on that, where it says charter school under construction, and it was valued by, it was moved from the residential land expert who does these valuations for ag properties to our field office officer who visited the site and took pictures, and you know, it was completely under the commercial purview.
Well, thank goodness, because I know sometimes those have been hard and we had issues in the past, so I'm glad that that was found prior to or during construction of this school. So.
Okay.
For me, the denial, the recommended denial makes sense.
I'll make a motion that we deny the petition of equalization as stated number 19 on our agenda.
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second to deny item number 19. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That passes 3-0.
Okay, item number 20, the petitioner is making, is asking for the appeal to be heard on the basis of factual error. The factual error they're stating is just basically a difference of opinion in the value, which does not really fit the basis of a factual error. So in this case, they would have to be making a petition based off of why they were unable to meet the filing deadline on time.
I'll make a motion that we deny number 20 as stated.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to deny number 20. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
Number 21, which is our final late appeal to be heard, the appellant is making an argument that the extraordinary circumstances surrounding the purchase of a new home and the mailing of the I'm guessing the mailing of the valuation notice was sent to an old to their prior address.
How late were they?
See, the appeal was filed on October 5th. We was received by us on October 5th. So was this a mailed in one?
She walked in on Monday.
She walked in, so she personally brought it into the office on October 5th.
And it was due in September 15th.
Yep.
Any evidence to it that you? I mean, is it true that it was sent to the other address?
You know what? That's an excellent question. I can verify that in just one moment.
I mean, she checks the extraordinary box, but also claims that she's ill. She has been ill, had to move closer to her home or to her daughter.
Okay. The notice, so the valuation was generated and mailed. Actually, it was mailed to the Villas at Water's Edge LLC. So I'm guessing, so the purchase of this home was completed, the warranty deed with the new owner was recorded on 7/31/2020. So in this particular circumstance, this person who's filing the appeal was not the owner of record at the time the valuation appeals were sent out. They became the owner of record after the valuation notices were sent out, and that's why she did not get it. But she was the owner of record as of September 15th. So this is a normal circumstance where you have a transition of ownership in the time frame where we're preparing and mailing out the valuation notices, where the old owner will get it and the new owner doesn't, but the new owner is wanting to appeal the value. So in this case, you know, we the county has complied with the notification requirements as by the law, but obviously the owner whom the value now affects did not get the notice.
Okay.
I'm inclined to grant that one. I would, as a homeowner, if I didn't receive the notice, you know that I would want to appeal.
I'll make a motion that we approve the petition as stated number 21 on our agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 21. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 22.
Okay, this is an appeal for a Greenbelt rollback notice. Probably. Okay.
So this is Anthony Lube on the Zoom. Diane Garcia unfortunately got injured, so she hurt her arm. So she asked me if I could kind of cover this one and provide a little bit of background information for the commission. On this this specific application on the appeal, in 2019, it had been in productive use in the past. But then when they killed off the alfalfa and were going to start planting new crop, they decided not to do that. There was a lot of different issues going on, one of which is that the lessee, who also owns neighboring adjacent parcels, ended up passing away early this year. So there were some health issues there. Having said that, though, the owner of this subject property, Mr. Ludlow, didn't get a new lessee and hasn't planted anything or done anything with production of the of his property end of last year or at all this year. In fact, what he did do is that he had been petitioning through Spanish Fork City, rezoned the property from agricultural to residential, has subdivided the property, and is working on development. His application says that he wants to be able to have the ability to pull it out when he's ready, because he might end up leasing it to somebody else and having it worked, or he might end up, if this deal goes through with the developers, he wants to go that route. Unfortunately, the law doesn't give him that discretion. Once no longer in production, it's no longer qualified to be under the act. And so the recommendation is to uphold Diane's determination because he doesn't meet protection requirements anymore. And it doesn't look like it's going to be happening in the near future.
And board, just so you know, we do have the owner here to provide comment and testimony too as well.
So my name is David Ludlow. I live in Spanish Fork. I live adjacent to the property that we're talking about, and I represent the family. So this land has been in agriculture use forever. Our family's been farming it for the last 40 years. And as was mentioned, it's been farmed in conjunction with a 10-acre parcel just to the north of it. The family that owns the 10-acre parcel to the north of it decided not to continue farming it during the course of last year. probably in July of last year, Spanish Fork, because they were putting in a new stoplight on 1400 East and Canyon Road, damaged the irrigation line, and we were not able to sprinkle the land last year, so it became quite weedy. We decided that we would round up the land and then replanted as alfalfa. When the family to the north of us decided not to continue to farm it, we thought, well, we will look into possibly selling it and developing it. This is a parcel of ground that's completely surrounded in Spanish Fork by residential housing. We think that that will go through, but it hasn't gone through. And once this land is taken off of agriculture, it's very difficult to go back on agriculture uses. So if it's taken off agriculture now, and for whatever reason the sale falls through, and we decide we want to continue to farm it, that's very difficult to do. We think that we will know the answer to this in a couple of months. So rather than having to go back through all the work that would be required to put this back on the greenbelt, we are requesting that this decision be delayed for just a few months until the sale closes. Right now in the county, the plat has not been recorded. It has been approved by Spanish Fork, but the sale has not yet closed. And so again, if the sale doesn't close, we plan to continue to farm it. So it is true that it has been out of agricultural production for this year and this year only. We have applied Roundup in preparation for disking it up and replanting it, which may well end up happening if the sale does not go through. So rather than go through all that process, which is very difficult to bring it back on the greenbelt, I'm just looking at it. The ordinance says that the land has been assessed in agricultural use for at least the past 2 years, which it has been. The failure to meet agricultural production requirements for the tax year due to no fault or act of the owner, purchaser, leasee, that's a little bit of questionable. Just things have happened and the land has laid fallow for one season.
I'll just say, adding to the record, historically how we've handled these is that if a developer or a person who is looking at developing another land, if they stop production for whatever reason and they have a year where they don't have it, it comes out. That's why we do have the people that are looking at developing continue to do it as they're exploring their options and going through the process, so that way they can maintain it in its current status. I mean, once you're out, I can understand it is difficult to go back in, right? Once you have it, how do you prove the 2 years? So you have to wait several years. That's why it's important to make sure that you comply and continue to have production requirements. Otherwise, you get into a situation like this.
So I would just say that we found out about this early in the spring. I reached out to several farmers in the area. I did not find anyone at that time, and I have found people now who are willing to farm it. So we went through the work of rounding it up and preparing it to go into production again. That is true. So that's sort of the status of it right now.
So I did see the pictures, and I don't see them on here now. Maybe I'm clicking on the wrong one. But the pictures that I saw on there look like it's still in, it's still weedy. And so you
say that's correct. We have not dished it up yet.
Okay.
It's just undergone the Roundup to kill all the weeds. The next step would be disking and planting, which we have not done pending the sale. If the sale goes through, then I expect we have already paid the rollback taxes. Those have already been paid because they were due 2 weeks ago. But I'm hoping that it stays in Greenbelt in case this sale falls through.
So Anthony, can you just remind me though, there is, if I remember correctly, a process for 1 year, I don't even know if it's called a hiatus or, you know, some sort of extenuating circumstances with land in which production is not met. Is that because of an act from God, or, you know, something happens where the production level doesn't meet that standard? Could you just remind me of that, clarify what that is again?
Let me pull that one up real quick. It's the statute that was just read by Mr. Ludlow. Let's see.
I'm just wondering if there's any claim here on that.
Okay.
I just wonder if there's any claim on that or not, because if there's not claim on that, I don't see how this board can move forward. So that's the only avenue that I know of anyway in which there could be possibly some claim.
So what it says is under B2, implementation of a bona fide range management crop rotation program or similar accepted cultural practices. That would be and so whether you call this a crop rotation or implementation of accepted practices, I know in other land that we've farmed through the years that there are occasional times that land is left fallow for a year as you prepare it to do some other thing. I guess that's what we'd be asking for.
I mean, this goes, and I'll read it one more time. You know, the failure to meet the agricultural production requirements for the tax year was due to no fault or act of the owner, purchaser, or lessee. And so that's something, right, that goes beyond. If there's a fire that came and raised the land, so it makes it hard, you can't plant crops. I mean, it wasn't that the farmer wasn't able to, didn't do his job, it's that he couldn't, because the land wasn't in a condition which he could grow plants.
If you look
the
it says fault does not include crop rotation. So crop rotation.
Right, I'm going to go into that part now.
Thank you.
The thing is that it's part of a crop rotation program, and you just specified that's not your intent. You're not going through a crop rotation program. It's usually if that's in part, you're still using parts of your parcel, and you know you're having this rotation that's kind of going around, right? Some that are being used, some that aren't. But in your case, it's all not being used for the intent to be developed and sold. And then you're trying to hold on to it because you're trying to, you know, say, well, if things go bad, I want to be able to still get the preferential tax treatment. It doesn't work that way.
So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear here, unfortunately. I appreciate your candor, Mr. Ludlow. I think but when you're actively preparing for a sale and that's the stated purpose, I think it's pretty clear that it's not in Greenbelt. It should not be in Greenbelt, that the rollback taxes were appropriately assessed and appropriately paid. So to me, that seems clear, the recommendations of staff. Now, as to if your concern is that for some reason this does not go forward in a sale and you want to try to put it back onto Greenbelt. Personally, I don't know what the law says, but it does seem logical to me that we could try to incorporate some of the past, your long history of farming the land, to try to get more of an accelerated placement onto Greenbelt, right? So, but
the law says I had to have 2 years. Documenting production, paying the regular taxes on for 2 years before I could apply.
Right.
What we'll do.
The challenge that we're having is that's not the item that's before us, right?
Correct. I mean,
we could be having that conversation right now if you end up needing to go back onto Greenbelt, right? I think that there's a long history of trying to support those who are actually trying to produce. And at that point, you're coming to us. And this board has a history of trying to really help those who have been in a tough spot with the Greenbelt rollback if they're trying to produce. But at the moment, really you're trying to sell. And you're really only trying to protect in case that sale doesn't go through. And so I think that's better, you know, once if you really do need to go back on rollback and you need to come back and do a rollback or a Greenbelt application, and you're actually at that point, you can stand in front of us and say, my intent is to produce. And I've produced for 40 years other than this 1 year gap. I mean, personally, I'm prepared to hear every possible argument that we can make to try to support your agricultural production.
If that feeling is part of the record for today, I'd feel very comfortable.
Yeah.
That feeling I'd like to put out there, but I just don't know if we can statutorily do that. That's the question that I'd have. If we could jump, I've never heard of us yet being able to shorten that time frame of that 2 years. If that's true, I'd love to know if that's possible.
This is Paul Jones, and yeah, just to give Mr. Ludlow what I think is a pretty clear look at the law, he'll have to show when he applies the previous 2 years of production. So if we find today that he's not producing in 2020. Then he can show in 2021 and 2022 and then apply in 2023.
I mean, in the past, we've dealt with similar situations, right, where there's a provisional grant of Greenbelt status, but it doesn't really kick in until they actually demonstrate that production. Is that correct? That's how we've managed it in the past?
Done that.
You cut out there, Paul. I think you missed part of what you were saying.
Oh, no, we've never been able to cut that time short. We've not done that. Not that I'm aware of.
Is there an ability
before? is that a person has met the production requirements, but through some sort of technicality, a change in title or ownership, and they forgot to file an application, we've done it, because then they get right back on the green belt. And then we've done a sort of thing on the commissioner side, a green folder process, right, where as time goes on, they get a refund, so that way they would only ever pay a five-year look back instead of getting hit twice. But in this situation where you don't have production, we really haven't had something like this before. I think a part of it's because if you're trying to go development, you're trying to sell it, if it doesn't work through, usually you try to find somebody else, and it's just easier doing it that way, not having to wait 2 or 3 years before you're back on.
I think in any case, we know this needs to be addressed once that happens. And so the decision about this, the way it's on our agenda today, is pretty clear. I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we deny the application as stated number 22.
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second to deny item number 22. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Final motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 We're now adjourned. We will just give a moment to reset.